The title of the message is, Want God's Super Blessing? Start here. Start where? Start in Psalm 1, actually. Hey, there's 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the largest book in the entire Bible, and it covers all kinds of different subjects. Actually, Psalms means a song that is accompanied by music. Many of the Psalms, from Psalm 1 to 150, were actually used in the corporate worship of Israel, including like our brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago. The early church actually turned to the Psalms, and it was like the song book at times for their public meetings. I mean, in one way, shape, or form, we probably were singing songs this morning. I wasn't so much paying attention, but probably based on principles and ideas and truths communicated in the Psalms, right? And the Psalms deal with so many different subjects. Deal with God, deal with creation, deal with war, deal with justice, deal with compassion, deal with love, deal with the Messiah. Here's the thing about Psalm 1. Look at the word bless there. Okay, it's the Hebrew word esher. It actually could be translated, check this out, blessednesses. It's like plural blessings, like multiple blessings, like a five-course meal. Like it's not just the hors d'oeuvres, it's just another piece. It's like the pie, it's everything. It's like these the blessednesses of Almighty God. Psalm 1, the subject is addressing the super blessings of Almighty God. It's addressing the person who's experiencing God's super blessings and the keys to experiencing the super blessings of God. I mean, and there's all kinds of blessings in life. If technically, the idea of blessing means God's favor and God's protection. But there's all kinds of blessings in life that come to us directly from the Lord and indirectly, right? I mean, thank God that we can see and we can taste and all these different things. I mean, you know, I would say a blessing is Ruffles potato chips. I mean, I'm just telling you, right? I would say, for me, a blessing is chocolate. Listen, my grandmother, I used to go visit my grandmother. I miss her so much. My daughter reminds me of her. I just miss her, and she, you know, and I were so close. I was the baby in the family, long story short, for so many years. She was so concerned I wasn't getting naps, you know, because it was so busy at the home. So when I'd go to grandma's, I would love being with my grandma. But inevitably, she walked me in the back room. I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm 3 or 4. Remember this, I couldn't articulate it, the feelings that I had then. But the thing is, I was like, oh my goodness, you're going to put me down for a nap? When you're a kid, who wants to take a nap? And I just remember she tucked me in, and the blankets are weird, and I'm used to like 100% cotton from my mother, you know. It's like, this is not the case. Weird pictures on the walls, and then I just blank out and wake up. And there's my grandmother, and she'd give me a treat and things. Okay, I hated naps when I was a kid. Now my wife says, honey, why don't you take a nap? I'm like, oh, blessings, blessings, blessings. I mean, it's like, okay, all kinds of different blessings. But on a very serious note, please hear this. Look, what Psalm 1 is addressing is the blessednesses, like the super blessings of Almighty God. Hey, you want God's super blessings? You got to start here in Psalm 1. That's what Psalm 1 is addressing. And so the first point really is, we have it up on the screen, the Lord wants you to experience the blessednesses. Okay, the blessednesses, that's the word esher in Hebrew, like the multiple major blessings from God. Look, consider it from a big picture view. Think about how the Lord wants us to be blessed. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, can someone tell me, is death. Like, what does that mean? What does it mean, death? Like, are you talking about your body dies? Well, I mean, that is actually the consequence of original sin. But let's just talk about it real quick. And we're talking about a disconnect with relationship with God. You're out of harmony with God. That's not a good thing. The source of life and blessing. The wages of sin is broken relationship. Watch this. The impact of that is described. It's described as leprosy, leprous-like, and it's described as leaven. These are descriptions that basically say the influence of sin actually desensitizes us, and therefore we are subject to self-mutilation. In other words, it's not a good place to be in sin and separate from God because it has a leaven-like spreads and it leaves you desensitized. Like leprosy is you lose your feelings in your extremities, so you pick up something hot and you don't realize it's hot, and therefore you're hurting yourself. Oh my goodness. You're self-mutilating. You're really, and sin has that type of influence in our life. Are you guys with me on that, right? So the wages of sin is death, but here's the good news. The Lord is awesome. And he wants to give us the blessedness is, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this means the opposite of breakdown, but rather experiencing the potential God created us to experience. Look up here for a second. I made this point a couple months ago, but it's true. The Lord is all into you experiencing the potential he created you to experience. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, yes, or all of sin fall short of the glory of God. Glory speaks of original design. Sin takes you away from the original design, so the car isn't running the way it was purposed to. Our lives are not running the way it was purposed to. Our minds are not perhaps running the way it's purposed to. And love is all about an influence that brings health and fullness and leads to full potential. I quoted Bono a couple of months ago. I got to do it again. He says, I think love, if you really push it, what it's about, realizing potential, isn't it? It's about realizing your own potential and realizing someone else's potential. That's the job of love. And I think that's what God wants from us, is to realize your potential to be what you can possibly be. And the greatest sadness to me on this earth is the waste of human potential. That, in principle, is spot on. And what grieves the Lord is like, oh my goodness, I don't want you below original design, below potential, below how I made you and created you. I want you experiencing it. Can I hear a big amen to that? The gospel's about blessedness is, yes, beginning in right relationship with the Father in his Son. Second point is the prescription for God's super blessings in Psalm 1, and we're going to unpack it in just a moment, is as true today as it was yesterday. Because look, if you're here for the first time, so glad that you're here. But you're thinking, when was Psalms written? When do you think this was written? About 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. Well, we've had a lot of water under the bridge, man. I mean, we're modern men. There's more knowledge than ever before. I mean, I got my new phone here, man. I got 100 gigabytes right here. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like you're telling me that the psalm is relevant for us today. Oh, there's, I'm not even implying it. I'm absolutely stating it emphatically. I mean, there's no doubt that we've made big strides in humanity, understanding some of the great mysteries of life. I mean, technology has made it safer for us, facilitated communication. Slavery, which was prominent throughout the world, does not exist like it used to. We are physically more comfortable than ever before. But I'm going to tell you what historians are telling us, that this generation is not as whole, is not as complete, is not as healthy of soul than previous generations. Even our parents. I mean, it's like my grandfather, he didn't have a 401k. He didn't get major vacation. He didn't have great medical services. And yet his generation, in terms of soul, was a lot more blessed. One article said people don't feel as happy as those who lived actually in the 1950s, even though we have three times more wealth than people had at that time. It's like, I think of Simon Cowell. He's one of the most successful guys in show business, And in an interview, in his 14,000 square foot home, complete with staff and guest house and movie theater and garage that houses a Bugatti and Rolls Royce and Bentley and a Ferrari, you think this guy is just like, man, I'm digging life. But this is what he said. He said, I get in these very dark moods for no reason. I mean, nothing in particular brings it on. You could be having the best time in your life, and yet you're utterly and totally being miserable. And I want you to remember what he says. We're going to come back to this. He goes, I just feel like I'm a wandering asteroid without a home. Remember that, because this psalm identifies chaff. Chaff is separate from that which is living. Chaff is dead. Chaff is independent. Chaff is subject to the winds and the circumstances. Chaff is lifted up and it drops. It's like it's being controlled by outside forces because it doesn't have a root system, because it's not organic, because it's not alive. And what Cowell is saying is like, man, I got all of this stuff around me, but man, I just feel like a wandering asteroid. Wandering asteroid is dead. A wandering asteroid is like independent, lost in space, subject to, I don't know, the gravity of the sun or circling around the sun. But that's it, man. And that's so sad. You'll discover that the greatest cynicism regarding happiness is actually found among the most educated and experienced and wealthiest among us. And the reason why they're so cynical about is there such a thing as happiness and fulfillment and blessedness is because they've made education and experience and wealth and materialism ultimate things, God replacements. These things can never deliver what God can deliver in our life. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for, can someone tell me, righteousness. So it's like, just bear with me, please hear me. Blessedness is the favor and protection, I mean the super blessings of God have never been in political science, never been in biochemistry, big terms, never been in materialism. It's more cosmic, if you will, it's more spiritual, it's more organic, it is relational, it begins with God. And the third big point is the super blessings start on the inside. This is very important. With information that informs your thinking and how you process it. And that's where we're going to get to now exegeting this passage. Look at Psalm 1, you guys. Blessed is the man who walks not in the, what's the next word, you guys? Counsel. Okay, so we are talking now. You're talking about counsel would refer to information and your intellect. That's what it's involving. So in other words, the blessed person is not being informed by godless information. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. The counsel is referring to information, bad information, godless information. This is involving one's intellect, okay? Nor stands in the path of sinners. It progresses past, speaks of behavior. Okay, so watch this. Look up here for a second, watch. So how I think and what I think, information in my brain plays a big role, obviously, in the choices that I make. The choices that I make affect my path in life, affect my behavior and my lifestyle. So the blessed person is not allowing godless information to inform their choices that determine the path and direction of a person's life. And then he says here, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The idea of a seat in a Hebraic lens through the scriptures speaks of identity. Okay, so watch this. In summation, godlessness informing your life leads to poor choices, leads to wrong identity. So what does it tell us? You guys, look up here for a second. Well, God made us in his image. And God is a creator, actually. And the Lord has given us, by his grace and how he made us, the ability to create. It's true. I mean, the choices that we make have creative powers to them. I mean, my wife, she creates so many beautiful things. And it begins in the mind, and then it manifests itself with killer food. Okay, all right. So it's just, we can create things outside of ourselves. We are creators. We're creating the image of God. And our choices, which are based upon what is informing our thinking, actually creates internal realities in our life as well. So we can create with wrong thinking and choices a wrong identity that alters actually the physiology of our brain. Or we can create with right thinking a right identity that alters the physiology of our brain. Scripture says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That is true on many levels. Look, the great Carolyn Leaf, a cognitive neuroscientist with a PhD in communication pathology, said, we are co-creators of our destiny alongside God. God leads, but we have to choose to let God lead. We've been designed to create thoughts, and from these we live out our lives. And moment by moment, every day, you are changing the structure of your brain through your thinking. Look, the fourth point is the super blessings require that you mentally chew what is true, and that is the Word of God. Can I hear a big amen to that? That's what he's saying here. Look, here's the thing. If you're going to mentally chew, because we're going to get to it, meditate, you got to, it starts it from the inside. In order to mentally chew what is true, you have to get in the mouth of your mind. It's like Psalm 119:11. David said, I hid your word in my heart. in my intellect, in my thinking. I just hid it. It hid it. It took time. You hide something, it takes some time. I'm like depositing it. I mean, the super blessings require that you chew. That's the idea of meditation. It's haggah in the Hebrew, mutter, muse, chew on, process, think about. You mentally chew. Look at verse 2. What? Well, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Now look, this is a culture, the discipline of meditation, intentional thinking. I'm going to think upon the truth of God's word and the law. We'll talk about the law in just a little bit. That's intentionality. In our culture, we are not a culture of meditation. We are a very broad culture, but not a deep culture. We're not a culture of rhythms. We're not a culture of particular mental and emotional disciplines. We go work out, maybe. We have other disciplines, but not internal. Not what this is calling for. And actually, studies show this, because the majority of our thinking is 90% of repeats from yesterday. But the super blessings begin from the inside out. The super blessings are going to involve what is informing your thinking, that has a profound impact upon your life, that has creative powers in your life. Think about Joshua, who was in a total new beginning in his life that impacted millions of others. And what was the Lord's directives to his life? I mean, we have it up here on the screen. We're going to put up this scripture. Can we put up that? Watch this. Here he is in this big new beginning. And we are as a church. The Lord says, hey, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. All right, so we're just going to keep, thank you guys. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all that is in the law, right? We'll talk about that, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper in wherever you go. Thank you so much. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. You may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way, what? Everybody say it, prosperous, and you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong, good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wait, pause there, watch. Here's a guy, man, way up in his years. He's been an assistant to Moses. Moses has died. He has hundreds of thousands of people behind him. He's going to lead them into a new beginning. You're in a new beginning in 2019. We're in a new beginning in our church family. And I'm going to really loosely paraphrase it, okay? It's like the Lord is saying, okay, Joshua, which means Lord of Salvation, a type of Christ, if you're gonna take ground in new beginning, the blessings I'm giving, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's all gonna start on the inside. Because if you don't get it right in the inside, if I don't have your heart, if you're not mentally chewing on what is true, you will not make it. It all starts on the inside. Can I have a big amen to that? Right? It all starts. Look, not to the right or left. And the law to Joshua would be primarily the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah. He would be chewing on, man, the Lord called Abraham. Wow, he revealed himself to Abraham. Okay, the entire world is going to be blessed through Abraham in the Messiah. We are part of a big picture. Hey, I got to chew it. I got to listen, step into this. And if I do that, but it all starts from the inside out, if I do that, there's going to be success, there's going to be prosperity. But in essence, listen, the Torah is the chief message of Scripture, which is the person and work of Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus was explaining to the disciples on the road to Emmaus that the Messiah must suffer. And he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. And he said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. Watch this. So therefore, we're going to come back to this, for us to meditate on the Torah is the first five books of Moses. In general, Scripture, Revelation. In essence, ultimately, the chief message of the Bible, which is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that. We're going to come back to that. We're going to the next point. Look with me. Well, you don't have to look with me. It's the fifth point. Thanks for putting up Laura and Justin. The super blessings are actually experienced by being rooted in something other than yourself. Where does this come from? The super blessed man is likened to a tree whose roots are drawing from the ground near rivers of water. So look at verse 3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Okay, thank you for your patience. Look up here for a second. Watch. Super blessings. I got to be rooted into something outside of myself. I am not made to be chaff. I am not made to be asteroid. I am not made to go through life monoing it, soloing it, managing my own life, drawing from my own resources, which are terribly limited. No, the blessed man. A lot of psalms, psalms about justice, psalms about wars, psalms about God, psalms about creation. This one's about the blessed man, who has like the favor and protection of God. Don't you want his favor and protection? It's like, yeah. Oh, well, you got to be rooted in something outside of yourself. Because in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, like chaff, which the wind drives away. Oh, chaff is non-living. It doesn't have internal source. It's dead. It's not being nourished by anything outside of itself. It's independent, controlled by circumstances because the wind drives it. It's an asteroid. However, a tree, though it goes through seasons, some harsh, some not, because it's rooted, remains strong from the inside out, with harsh circumstances triggering actually greater roots and stability. So it's like, wait a second. Okay, well, if we're likened to a tree planted by rivers, so in other words, you're drawing from great source of H2O in the water. You have great source of strength for that tree, and it's organic, and it's living. It's not that the tree doesn't go through seasons, some of which are beautiful, and it's spring, and it's summer, it's fall. It's going to go through seasons of winter as well. It's going to go through snow. It's going to go incredible wind, which tells us, please hear me, like as a Christian, we're going to go through seasons, and some of it is going to be terrible. Some of it's going to be frigid. Some of it's going to be hot as Gehenna. I mean, some of it is going to be, whoa, this is, oh my goodness, I mean, this is really tough. And some of it is, the circumstances are really tough. For the chaff is going to be driven, the asteroid is going to be thrown around by the circumstances of the good, bad, and ugly, but the righteous person, oh, when the hard times hit, the difficult times hit, the roots go deeper. Actually, it can trigger even greater stability. It can work towards the advantage of the growth and the livelihood of the tree itself. That's what Paul was saying when the Lord comforted him that in my weakness, my strength is perfected, or perfects his strength in weakness. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, you talk about, oh my goodness gracious, if he's like a tree, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane experiencing the most terrible, terrible opposition. And what is he doing? But he's crying out to his Father, strengthened by that an angel is sent, rescues him and strengthens him. Not my will, but your will be done. So it's like, wait, time out. So the gospel is about you sent your Son to die for our sins, to rescue us and bring us in right relationship with the Father. We were never meant to go through life alone. And that we're like a tree going through seasons where it's killer and it's wonderful, it's fruitful, but other times it is tough. And to say Christianity is I just walk around, everything's great, man. It's just great. This is a killer season. I'm just digging it. That's just like, wow, that's not even real. Sometimes it's tough. And Paul got to the point, though, he said, I gladly rejoice in my struggles and infirmities, because it's like what happens is I'm going to paraphrase, my roots go deeper. I draw from the nourishment of relationship with the Messiah himself, and my Heavenly Father comes and rescues and strengthens me and perfects his strength. Can I hear a big amen to that? Hey, number 6, the super blessings are experienced by being rooted in Christ. Look, Colossians 2:7 says, plant your roots in Christ and let him be the foundation for your life. So therefore, listen, and this would be killer homework, and I probably just lost everybody when I said homework, right? I mean, who likes homework? I'm going to give you homework. You know, it's like, I'm not coming back to this church. But here's the thing. Psalm 1, I want you to listen to this. Because if we bring Messiah, we could put Messiah right here in Psalm 1. So just listen. Listen to this. Blessed is the man who listens to Messiah. Can I hear an amen to that? Okay, watch this. Who walks with Messiah. Can I hear an amen? Who is seated in Messiah. That's our position. Secure, loved, forgiven, empowered, graced. His delight is in the person and work of Jesus and his position in Messiah. He ruminates on this reality, allowing it to sink in deeply into his life. He experiences a different outlook. His soul is rich and healthy because it's chiefly energized by God, not circumstances. Meditate, chew, mentally chew, 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 chew. I actually love to chew. And my precious wife, who I need like all the time, who brings help outside of myself, tells me, be careful, you're a chomper. You know, you got to be careful socially. Chomp, 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 chomp. Now here's the, I just like need to get rid of the gum. In 2019, I want to chomp more on the truth of his word. Chomp, 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 chomp. The question is, what does that look like? I mean, let's just be realistic. Now, church family, Rise Church, I love that name, by the way. Rise Church. So, I mean, if we're going to even get close to this psalm, because it begins by the blessed man, the blessedness, super blessings and stuff, not informed by godliness that leads to the path of sinners that sits and scornful. That's your identity. It's shaping your brain even. It's creating all kinds of lame things in your life for yourself and for other people. It's self-mutilating. It hurts community, hurts generations. No. The blessed man, he's intentional in his thinking. He's meditating on the word of God. He's like a tree. His root system is awesome. We make it in Messiah because the law is really, in essence, about Jesus. That's the chief message of the Bible, I should say, is Jesus. So we can turn it around. It's like, oh man, it's about him. It's actually being rooted, having roots in the love of God. That's why Paul is saying in Ephesians, I pray you'd understand the width and the depth and the breadth of his love. You'd be strengthened in the inner man. You'd be rooted as a grounded, super strong. Just like, so hardship or whatever it may be, you are drawing from this unique internal strength that comes from Messiah. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's the thing. Please hear me. You guys, number one, I want to encourage you to read your Bible first thing in the morning. Can I hear a big amen to that? Look, I'm serious now. If we're gonna make any progress in this meditation, it's not just going to be a sermon where we just learn something, but we really are transformed it. Read your Bible every morning. Does it make you a Christian? No. Does it help you grow as a believer? You better believe it. Of course. So read. 2019, man, we're going to be like Joshua, and we're just going to be like, I'm in the Word every morning. It's not the basis of my relationship. The basis of my relationship is based upon unconditional love. I'm his kid. But that discipline, meditation, the word, helps facilitate that relationship, my mind catching up with who I really am in Jesus. It's very critical. So I'm just going to tell you, number one, you got to read the Bible in the morning. Get the word in your mind in the morning. Number two, throughout the day, when you experience circumstances that are out of your control, that trigger fear or being overwhelmed or you feel depression, you want to be a first responder by reaching for the Word of God. So it's like, no, seriously, step in. It's like, what does God's Word say about this? Like yesterday I was out studying and I had a burden for a loved one and I had my glasses on and I'm just sitting kind of in the sun. I look up and I can see the sun. I can look at the sun through my glasses. And I'm being warmed by it. It's maybe a little silly story, but I just had this burden. I'm just thinking, okay, Psalm 84:11. It's like, Lord, you are said in your word. You are like a sun and shield. And you give grace and glory. And you will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And I just really needed to hear that right now. I needed to chew on your word because your word is true. It's true. and you got to step into it. Let me tell you something. You know how you can damage, like, to talk physiologically, no joke. You know how you can damage your thinking and damage actually your brain, your deposit that needs to be renewed, is that you state truth, but you don't believe it. So you don't put the combination of truth and trust together. If you put, I'm going to trust that it is true, that is a powerful, creative power. Flat out, bar none. It changes you, and it ends up spilling over and impacting other people. Remember what the doc said, moment by moment, every day, you're changing the structure of your brain through your thinking. Trusting what is true is a powerful, creative power for righteousness, healing, renewal, regeneration, and impact on your life and others. And number four, delighting in God's word more by chewing what is true doesn't lessen the flavor of righteousness, but actually deepens it. So it's like the blessed man, through mental, intentional thinking upon what is true, there's a God, I'm his son or his daughter, part of a community bigger than myself, I'm in Messiah, and so forth and so on, and I'm chewing, and I'm like allowing God's principles and promises to inform my thinking. The more you do that, the more delightful his word will be. Like if you chew gum, it lessens in its flavor. But if you chew Psalm 84:11, or Philippians 4:4, or 4:6, or 4:13, it's like, oh, that's better. Oh my goodness. Wow. Creative powers of experiencing wholeness, healing, righteousness, being equipped for his work. Oh man, this is awesome. The delight even gets better. Can I hear an amen to that? Or was I just losing my mind for a moment right there? No, it's true. And thinking more what the Bible says is actually growing in faith. It's like, what's faith? Think more biblically. Think more biblically. It's your friend. It's your friend. It's like our Jewish brothers and sisters, the culture, had so many things right. They had disciplines right. They needed right relationship with the Father. That was missing. The chief issue was Messiah. But the disciplines, mental chewing, praying at 9, praying at noon, praying in the evening, great, great. Our culture, there is no rhythms. There used to be a time that you didn't even have businesses open on Sunday. How many of you remember that? I'm curious. There's no rhythms in our culture. So we need to say, whoa, okay, well, I think of what Paul told Timothy. Here's a progress plan for you. You got to add godly character. You got to give attention to the Word of God. You got to activate your spiritual gifts. You got to absorb these things. I want you to meditate on these things. And if you do, you will make progress and it will be evident to all. And keep yourself accountable. Do this. God made you in his image. You are with creative abilities. Don't let that freak you out. That's just a reality. He leads us, but we got to step into it. Can I hear a big amen to that? That has impact on our life, physiologically and externally. That is a flat-out fact. So if you want a healthy life, bless your wife. If you want a healthy life, bless your wife. I was going to say something else, but that rhymed. But that came, and I just thought I'd go with it. But that's true. Yeah, if you want a healthy life. I can't remember, I'm sorry. Okay, but I want to say this. In closing, look, the blessed man what? Well, he actually is going to allow truth. He's going to allow the best information to inform his thinking. How about this? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except it be through me. How about this one? For God so loved the world, the entire world. Jesus is speaking to a ruler in Israel. He's speaking to a Pharisee, by the way, a teacher. So he's saying Nicodemus. He's saying this to a Jew. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son is the King. Whoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Step into this, my friend. You're going to step into God's plan. Step into an individual. Step into it as a leader. Because God loves the entire world. And he's going to create a whole new world, heaven, earth, integrated, heaven and earth, integrated in Messiah. Step into it, because that's true. Let that inform your thinking. What's true is I'm the resurrection and life, Jesus said. If you believe in me, though you die, you shall live. That's true. That's true. And if that's the first step, it's like, I am going to step in and I'm going to trust that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He gave his life on the cross for me, that sin that separates me from God. And he paid that debt of sin on my behalf and bridged the gap between God and man. And that's why he's the only way to the Father, because it's like he is the great bridge builder. He cleanses sin. He makes us new. He puts his presence in our life. He brings us in right relationship. And man, there's nothing more important than that to inform your first step. You don't have to completely understand it, but step into it. And then it's going to impact your life, and it's going to ultimately impact your very identity before God, and even have a major impact on who you are from the inside out. And I'm talking about even having a physiological impact, because that's the reality of how God made us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for you. I want to pray, first of all, that we as a church family, would you help us with this? Like, Father, we need your help. I pray for all my brothers and sisters in this room here that 2019 would be incrementally, kind of step by step, focused on the process. We would grow in from the inside out in you, the truth of who you are and your word informing our thinking. And when the tough times come, the temptations come, the struggles come, the depression comes, the stuff that triggers crazy stuff, may, Lord, we turn, first things first, kind of the first things first principle, turn to what is true, turn to you in prayer, and allow truth and trust to explode your blessings of intimacy and healing in our life, spilling over to impact a generation. Lord, help us with this. I just pray we'd be a bunch of Joshuas and Joshuettes, so to speak, stepping into the future as a church family and stepping into the future in this community. In Jesus' name, intentional, informed by John 3:16, informed by your incredible love, informed by how you're working all things out for the good, making us more like you. And Lord, I want to pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you. What do I mean by that? Well, Lord, you know what I mean. But Lord, I'm talking about never really opened their heart to you, had a time in their life where they formally invited you to be Savior and Lord. You know, the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Not hope or think it, but know it. Not like, I hope I do, I think I do. No, you know that you have eternal life. You say, well, I don't know if I could even become a Christian, have the strength. The Bible says to those who believe, he gave the strength. It's like, hey, look, when you put the combination of what is true and you put trust, I'm going to trust it. I'm going to step into this. Not fully understand it. How can we fully understand anything? No, what I do is I'm responsible with what has been communicated. I'm responsible with what I know. And as I step into it, I gain further understanding, Jesus said. But you got to be responsible with what has been revealed to you. What's been revealed to you this morning is, man, the blessedness person, man, is the one who listens to Jesus, follows Jesus, is seated positionally in Christ. You say, well, how do I become a Christian? Recognize what he's done for you. He hung, bled, gave his life on the cross for you, my friend. Yes, he died for you. I think the greatest sin in life is to say no to Jesus Christ. That is the greatest sin. And if someone continues to refuse him and stiff arm him, who's only perfect love, who's never thought a bad thought towards you or me or any of us in this room, there is no forgiveness of sins, because we're rejecting the only answer to the forgiveness of sins. So don't, the worst thing to do is rebuff Jesus, who only has our highest good in mind. Don't do that. Repent means to turn from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. Make a choice to follow him. He really is just a prayer away. The Bible says, those who call upon the Lord shall be saved. You can do that this morning. And the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Man, that can happen now. Just while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, a private moment. How many of you would say, you know, Greg, this morning, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want Him to come into my life. I want to step into 2019 like stepping in with momentum. I'm His boy. I'm His girl. That is settled. If that is you, and you're thinking, man, my conscience is pressing me. I know the Lord is speaking to me. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand right now. Let me pray for you. And by raising up your hand, you'd be saying, yes, that's me. I want to receive Christ. I want to know for sure my sins are forgiven. I want to leave here knowing if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I want that settled. Hey, how many of you this morning are thinking, man, this message has really spoken to me. I mean, and I know this is all of us, but I just need the Lord's help in stepping in to be that Joshua. It's like I'm going to be courageous and not fear, but I am going to be more intentional with thinking biblically than ever before. And yet, in order for that to happen, in order for me to chew what's true, I need to get what's true in my mental mouth. I need help. Hey, if that's you, you raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. You're thinking, man, that's me. Yes. God bless you guys. Me too. Lord, help us. Fall afresh upon us. We want to be ambassadors of Jesus, informed by what is true, because we know that's critical to taking the ground in growth, in love, in godliness, and forgiveness, and making you known, and loving our brothers and sisters as a church family. It's critical that the job is being done and being won on the inside out. We help us, Papa. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, and everyone who agreed said, amen.